Quentin jogged after his teammate. Suddenly, it didn't look like they were on a ship at all anymore. It looked more like they were in a jungle. There were no corridors here, no hallways. As near as Quentin could tell, it was just one big open space. On either side of a 3-foot-wide path grew some kind of inch-high red moss, which itself quickly vanished under a mat of waist-high plants with broad red leaves. Quentin could see only about 5 feet from the edges of the path before long, thin, brownish-yellow vines grew up from the waist-high plants to cling to the ceiling, so thick they could have been crazy angled prison bars of some forest jail. More red moss hung down from the vines, clinging to everything save for the hot lights mounted in the 20-foot-high ceiling, the lights being the only reminder of the touchback.
Come on, we need to hurry. The appetizer is the only thing already dead, so you'll want to fill up on that.
They walked into a clearing of sorts about 30 yards in diameter. At the outer edges, Quentin saw dozens of wide, silvery hammocks hanging at shoulder height. 5 or 6 silver cables ran from each hammock and wrapped around one of the thousands of vines running from floor to ceiling. The long tubular key were in some of those hammocks, multi-jointed arms dangling over the sides, or held close to their head, holographic interfaces glowing in the air. Scattered around the clearing, Quentin saw more of his key teammates sitting in what had to be workstations and hollow tables. The display showed glowing images of football players wearing bright pink uniforms with dark pink polka dots and black numbers. Uniforms of this week's opponent, the Shora Warlords.
They're studying?
Yep. That's pretty much all they do. Study or eat.
I'm surprised.
Why? You study, practice, run, or lift all the time, seems like. Why would they be any different?
Well, they're linemen. How much do they have to study the sentient they're facing off against?
It's not just brute strength, Q. There's a lot that goes into each snap, especially when it's key versus key. You ever watch Heavy G wrestling leagues?
Yeah.
It's like that. Every snap, every play, there's 100 moves and counter moves being made. Your offensive line studies to make sure they're prepared, make sure they can keep you safe.
Maybe they need more study time. My 9 sacks says they're flunking all their classes.
I heard that.
In the center of the clearing, Quentin saw what had to be the evening's focal point. A long, flat stone table. A narrow trench ran around the outside of the table, just inside the edge. It only took Quentin a second to realize what it was. A blood trough.
Don, are you absolutely sure I have to do this?
Don held up his right hand, fingers outstretched. 2 Galaxy Bowl rings sparkled in the hot, bright lights. Quentin nodded.
Okay, let's get this over with.
The 2 quarterbacks walked forth from the edge of the clearing. As they approached the table, Quentin heard a heavy rustling from the surrounding jungle. Don stopped at the edge of the table, as did Quentin, who had to force himself to stay calm. Sure, these were his teammates, but they had only been his teammates for the past 3 months. For the 19 years prior to that, he'd known the key as demons, as devils, as eaters of men and the swallowers of souls. Now here he was, deep in some semi-artificial jungle, a simulation of their natural environment, and surrounded by them. The key poured out of their silvery hammocks and scuttled to the table. Others actually slithered out of the underbrush, moving like huge snakes, legs tucked against their bodies. The key lined up around the table, 10 long tubular bodies bent up at the middle. The smallest key present, Ganta Kapo, the backup center, was 11 feet 11 inches long. One of the key wore a strange back brace. It was Akana Tak, the injured starting right guard.
Akana, we need you back this week. Need you bad. Will you be ready?
Quentin leaned to Don.
What did he say?
Basically,
It takes that long to say,
It's a strange language.
Quentin watched the linemen moving in for dinner, then realized there were many faces missing, including Mumo Kiloe. The key at the table were offensive line only.
Where's the defense?
They live in separate quarters, remember? If they live together, they're too buddy-buddy in practice.
We gonna eat with them too?
Later. The offense is a little more civilized. I want to break you in easy.
The key surrounded the table. One of them, Quentin recognized as Keo Kawer, the backup left guard, carried a heavy black sack. The black sack that moved. Kilo Yawat also had a bag. A smaller bag, thankfully, that wasn't moving. Yawat held the bag over the table and upended it, spilling its contents onto the stone surface. Shiny objects clattered, finally coming to rest in a scattered pile of candy apple red. Although covered in clear, glossy candy shells, Quentin recognized the creatures nonetheless. Shushuliks, the little creatures that had drained the blood of Mopuck the Sneaky.
Oh, Don, I can't eat that.
You will if you want to respect the Key culture.
Quentin felt his anger rising.
Why do I have to respect every culture in the galaxy, and no other culture seems to be required to respect mine? I don't dare offend any sentient, but no sentient has a problem offending me.
I don't know, kid. I guess some people just have to take the higher ground, or none of us would ever get along.
Don reached down and picked up a candy chushilic. He pumped it into his mouth.
The Key eat dessert first. You'd do well to make a show of eating a lot of these things.
Why?
Because then you'll be full. I don't think you want a lot of room left in your belly when the main course starts to scream.
Quentin looked at the older quarterback to see if he was joking. He wasn't. Quentin then picked up one of the candied chuchillics. The sugary shells started melting immediately, covering his fingertips in a sticky red. Quentin shoved the stiff chuchillic into his mouth, then bit down. The candy tasted sugary, but also a little bitter. His teeth cracked through it into something soft. Soft and also crunchy. Then something popped and a fluid shot out of his mouth, a gelatinous purple glob hitting his chin and dangling in a long streamer. He quickly wiped it away, then had to clench his teeth as his stomach started to rebel.
Don't you dare throw up if you want this to work.
Quentin chewed and forced himself to swallow. He'd heeded Don's advice and reached for another. The Key were scooping them up two at a time, popping them into their hexagonal mouths. They didn't seem overly concerned that the chuchillic juice splattered all over. Within minutes, the table was covered with streamers of thick purple goo. When Quentin picked up his sixth chuchillic, he stared at it. He couldn't possibly eat it and not puke. Quentin looked at the Key, wondering if somehow he'd offended his hosts.
I do something wrong?
No. Are you going to OS1 in the bye week or something?
Yeah, I'm taking Tweety to his mom's place.
Don's shoulders dropped a bit, and his eyes softened.
Tuna noodle casserole?
Yeah, why?
Oh man, I would kill a million sentients to swap out Ma Tweety's TNC for what we're about to have. Anyway, Shodu wants to know if he and Mumo can ride along. They want to visit OS1.
Sure, I guess.
Quentin looked at Shodu.
Yeah, I'll take you guys.
Quentin could only assume that meant thanks, then Kao Kawer hefted his still-kicking bag.
Here we go. You'll want to go to your happy place.
What's a happy place?
A place you pretend to be so you don't realize where you actually are. Just tell yourself you're eating fish. Warm, salty, still twitching fish.
Is it fish?
Nope.